What's happening?
I don't know. But this, I think we should keep it.
Are you going to do some sound effects now?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. The other day, I saw a video of a little one of those Highland cows.
They're so cute.
And it was a baby one. It was running through the field, and it had that like little sound effect, but in a little kid voice going as the
little cow. Yeah,
it was adorable.
I love that for you.
Thanks. There are weirder things to have stuck in my head. So yeah.
Definitely. What else is in there?
Plead the fifth. Right. Yeah, I cannot be forced to incriminate myself on this podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor Joe Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Lisa McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Does the Fifth Amendment apply to this podcast?
I don't know.
What amendments
a lawyer.
Do?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, we couldn't do this without the first. It's our pal. The cool First Amendment.
Right.
Do we have free speech? Am I going to get fired for this?
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you going to get fired for this podcast?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, because it is like a Lord of Life thing. So does Lord of Life have the right to fire you? Yeah.
For anything I say or do on the podcast?
I mean, I suppose if it was like in gross violation of our values as a congregation, we could fire you for it.
There'd still be a process that would go along with that.
But probably wouldn't be fired mid-podcast.
Probably not. Although that would be pretty epic.
I do not have the authority to fire you mid-podcast.
They'd come in and drag you out. We're like, Patrick's not with us anymore.
Well, if you like what you heard, be sure to write and review us.
Step one would be having someone actually listen to this as we record it, which
would
already put us a step above where we are. Right. So, there's that.
Maybe, you know, the higher ups want to be are hiding behind that curtain.
Yeah, that's it. That's
like
right
the
there.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Pay no attention to the council behind the curtain.
Right.
Or God in the Old Testament.
Yeah, behind the curtain.
He does hang out behind a curtain.
Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's like comes down behind the curtain.
We talked about that in confirmation.
What about the Moly of Molies?
That's guacamole. And it's delightful. I do like a good mole.
I love mole.
Yeah, it's very good.
Back to confirmation. I did throw a table over in the middle of class. Yeah.
Did you?
That is what I heard on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, to be like Jesus.
Yeah, we're talking about Holy Week. Jesus, and I just threw the table over in the middle of class. Just to
you didn't warn anybody?
Give him a shock. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to warn you.
It worked.
When I was a middle schooler, there was a pastor that got in trouble for doing that. So I look forward to the emails.
Right. Speaking of getting fired.
They'll never take me alive. All right. Let's get to our news segment. In dystopian news.
Dystopian
is
news.
Is there any other kind?
I feel like all news is dystopian news or The Onion at this point.
What's the opposite of dystopian? Dystopian?
Topian.
Utopian.
Utopian.
But like, what's just normal?
Zootopian.
Yeah, definitely.
So utopian.
Officer Judy Hopps.
Yeah.
Utopian is like perfection. Dystopian is like the opposite of anything good. So what's, is it dystopia? So that's just like regular stuff, dystopian?
I think it's just,
I think that's,
we don't have a word for it.
I'm going to use topian. Anytime
topian.
That's totally topian.
Yeah.
It's just super normal.
It's tapiokian.
Tapiokian. Tapioca.
Tapioca is the opposite.
Or zootopian, which I would prefer.
Yeah.
Okay. Evidently, this is a thing you can do in China.
There's a lot of things you can't do in China. So what is this that you can do?
Is this
China?
A freedom in China only?
Cryogenically freeze your late wife.
Your late wife.
Just because she's late to a thing? Or
she's
how late was she? More than 15 minutes?
I know. I get it. I'm dressed downstairs.
Right.
We needed to leave 10 minutes ago.
You're right.
That's it. Hit the button.
Right. There might be a good argument here.
No. Chinese man cryogenically froze his dead wife because she had lung cancer.
Oh.
And
we should not have been making jokes.
Wanted to basically, let's get to a place where we can cure it, thaw her back out, and then bring her back to life.
Wait,
you know,
a minute.
She was dead,
she's
right?
She's already dead.
I'm not saying the logic is sound.
Okay.
I'm saying like, that it happened.
I feel like for this plan to have worked, she had to have been alive when she was cryogenically frozen.
Right. I mean, now she did.
Right. Because sure, she's cryogenically frozen. Right.
Was she dead before the freezing?
Yeah, she died from lung cancer.
Can't you do that in the U.S. too, though?
Cryogenically
like get cryogenically frozen?
I think if you're already dead, you can be cryogenically frozen.
She was China's first cryogenically preserved person.
Okay.
Well, she's not preserved. She's dead.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Maybe well, it was I mean, right after. In the way that a pickle is preserved, I suppose.
I can still eat a pickle. All
right, well.
you want to keep going?
Do not. I do not want to keep going.
What a minute in that. A dystopian situation.
I live in a utopian world, all right?
Well, the plan is freezer, thaw her back out when they can cure her disease, resurrect her. But there's a problem.
Uh-oh. She's already dead. That's the problem.
Just a problem?
He's got a new girlfriend.
Oh, awkward. Look, I see this being like a 5 to 20 year thing. And then unfortunately, I'm going to thaw my wife out.
That is going to put a damper. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's 57 years old and, you know, just couldn't do it. He said, you know, it was kind of lonely and like, you know, didn't want to live alone. So got a new girlfriend.
That's quite the polycule there.
Yeah.
You, me, and your frozen wife makes three. Yeah.
It's going to be pretty awkward when she comes back. And you know.
She's not going to come back.
Yeah. I mean, it's she problems is I'm dead. Not worried about for 500.
I guess it is future use problem. I mean, I, you know, so true. Like, you know.
Yeah. Immediate gratification. There's that.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? Do you want to be cryogenically frozen?
No.
No.
I don't like the cold.
Again, you are dead. But still no. Yeah.
Still no.
I'm saying if I am cryogenically frozen, you're putting me in the living room.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. I want to be on display and make it awkward for 100%, everybody.
100%. 100%. Kat, you know, if you're bringing home a new boyfriend after I'm cryogenically frozen, he's got to be able to see me up there. Right?
That's right. He's
like,
got
to
know.
I'm there, right. You know, watching.
Blue lips and all, you know?
Yeah, what's your pose of choice if you're cryogenically frozen?
The like, finger point.
Yeah, pointing. Yeah. Yeah,
probably.
Like the Uncle Sam.
Yeah, I just want to be looming, you know, just like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like on a track that like moves around. Yeah.
Like somebody's like hobby train that goes through the house. Yeah.
What did they post? Just you're like running away from a thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Like in a perpetual state of fear.
Right.
All right. So there you go. That lesson learned. All right. If you are going to cryogenically freeze your dead spouse,
yeah.
at least have the conversation.
Can I get remarried?
Can I still see some people? You know, like, right. let's
are we seeing other people?
Yeah. Until I thaw you out.
Yeah. Is this a break? What is this? You know, like, get that stuff nailed down.
Sure.
Right. You know,
put that in writing.
Yeah. Yep.
So maybe that's a good, you know, Christmas Eve conversation for you and your spouse. Yeah.
Yeah. What if you're both cryogenically frozen?
Well, then there's not going to be an awkward new girlfriend but like, situation.
But, so. But one of you had a girlfriend before, presumably you didn't die at the same time. So he dies. He's cryogenically frozen too. They miraculously can be resurrected with this cure from cancer.
Is the girlfriend also resurrected?
Yeah. Or is she like, is the wife allowed to be mad at him for dating while she was dead? Yeah.
That is a good question.
I think just as a general rule, I'm mad at you for stuff I did while I was dead should be off the table.
Yeah. I think as a general rule, I'm mad at you for stuff you did in my dream should also be off the table, but that has proven to not always be the case. So
sometimes I need an apology. Just one.
I can tell you, Dream Patrick is quite the jerk.
I feel like you've been mean in my dreams a couple times.
I don't know what that dude is up to in the dream world.
Now that we're talking about it.
Ooh, he is.
Dream Patrick is just making you go around haunting other people.
What a jerk. So you don't even want to know what Ghost Patrick is going to be like.
Right. Oh, man.
So that's why, again, just get the body out of there. Don't freeze it. You know?
Thank goodness I don't believe in Ghost Patrick. That's good. Yeah.
Well, believe it or not.
Right.
You can be up in heaven and be a jerk up there, but don't be a ghost down here.
He'll find a way.
That's right.
All right. Let's get to our main article from Christianity Today.
Okay.
By Luke Simon.
Two first names. Not sure how I feel about that.
Simon's the better name of the two, really.
Should it be Simon Luke?
Simon Luke, yeah.
Okay, well.
Why does Simon feel like a better name
to you? Simon just feels like a little like woodsy man name, you know?
Does it?
Yeah.
Feels British Simon. And uppity to me.
Simon.
Simon?
Simon. Simon is definitely uppity. Come on. Yeah.
An uppity woodsman.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as an uppity woodsman.
There is such a thing as an uppity woodsman.
Like the Tin Man?
He like swings his axe with his pinky
out.
The
Tin Man is pretty uppity.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
All that silver.
Yeah. That's fair. Okay. It's tin. He's the Tin Man. All that silver. It's
metallic. He's a blingy.
I know. Over there. Give me some oil. Come on. Get it yourself.
Oil crown.
Get it yourself.
Nobody wants to work these days.
Christmas conspiracy for Zoomer men.
What is a Zoomer?
Yeah, I had the same question. Apparently.
Do you know what a Zoomer is?
Yes, I do.
Apparently, it's what we're calling Gen Zers now.
Zoomers.
I think it's what Gen X has come up with to counter the boomer accusation. Okay. It's now the Zoomer accusation.
Okay,
Zoomer. We can say that back to them.
Right. Yeah. Were they ever calling Gen X boomers, though?
100%. Yeah. I've been called boomer many a time by a kid, especially after that video, the OK Boomer video, when kids were telling me, I'm like, what? I'm not a boomer.
Yeah, you were over you were over 25, so you were a boomer.
And at that point. I'm still cool.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm cool, guys. It's fine. I'm a boomer.
Right.
Trust me.
Boomers could never.
Like, if you're a boomer out there, like, I think you're cool.
Yeah, you're fine.
You're good.
I got nothing against you.
Yeah.
You personally.
Probably.
Maybe some people in your generation, but not you.
How are you as a person?
It's not because you're a boomer, all right?
Right.
All right. A Christmas conspiracy for Zoomer men. So young men.
Younger men.
Okay.
Got it.
They're not wrong to believe in a contested world.
Sure.
But they've misidentified the villains.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, we got to talk about this guy because this is who Luke Simon talks about first.
Uh-oh.
Which is an unfortunate. Nick Fuentes. Do you know who that is?
I should
know. Oh, he's like the real alt-right. Like,
very
alt-right. Oh. Like,
I like my explanation better.
Did you say?
He was on Saved by the Bell.
No.
I don't know. This rumor.
I don't know who you're thinking of, but it's not him. Screech?
I don't know.
Zach?
Nick Fuentes and Screech are the same person.
Who knows? One of them.
Okay.
Maybe he played Kelly. That might have been it.
Yeah, I've seen a handful of clips against my will, really, of Nick Fuentes. He sat down with Tucker Carlson a few weeks ago.
Who's showing you clips of Tucker Carlson against your will? What's happening here?
Reels, you're scrolling, and there he is.
You can't look away.
Saying his thing.
Okay.
I also saw him talking to Pierce Morgan at this point last week.
Not Pierce Brosnan. That's a different person, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've made that mistake more than once.
Pierce Brosnan in 007.
Right. Also not in Saved by the Bell.
Right. Not the same as Nick Fuentes.
But who isn't Saved by the Bell? All right. I've seen Screech. I have a picture of me and Screech from Saved by the Bell.
You've told us that story on the pod before.
Yeah.
All right. I have no photos of me and Nick Fuentes, thankfully. And
that's
never,
for the best.
Never met him. All right. Well, anyway, if you don't know who Nick Fuentes is,
I clearly don't.
He's a young alt-right man who basically is saying the most outrageous thing possible to get a bigger audience.
Can I ask what might be another dumb question here?
Sure.
Alt-right.
Yeah.
Is ALT right, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So is it supposed to be for alternative right? Because I always kind of assumed it was supposed to be like ultra-right.
Ultra.
But then it was spelled incorrectly.
Alt-right.
Right. Alt-right instead of ultra-right.
Right. So I didn't.
Yeah, that's the British version for Simon. For the right. Simon. I'm ultra-right.
Is he also like Norwegian?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know that. British.
But I don't know. I don't understand the alt-right title as a name.
I think it is.
I get what it's supposed to stand for. But
alternative, right? Like, it's not just
you
fall on the right of like political issues, right? It's like way off to the right.
Yeah, but then shouldn't like the Democrats also be an alternative to the right? Like,
an alternative to the right.
Yeah.
Not the alternative.
There are
to the regional manager.
There are
assistant regional manager
left people
who are
potentially the equivalents.
Okay.
Are you know?
So there's alt right and there's alt to the right. Yeah. According to the assistant manager logic.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I got you. All right, I'm with you now. Okay, but it's not ULT. Okay.
All right, well, anyway, I can tell you with Pierce Morgan, he said he was sad. He was tired of pretending that Hitler wasn't awesome.
Wow.
You know, yeah, so, okay. I mean,
obviously. Tired of pretending that Hitler wasn't
for too
awesome.
Long, I've had to pretend that Hitler was not. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
He caved to social pressure.
Yeah, I'm like, are you even pretending?
All of us have been Hitler's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and he also confessed that he's never had a girlfriend and
doesn't
like being around women. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, he's got an audience, obviously, of young, you know, reaching out to the Zoomer men, the young men, the manosphere.
I think the word you meant there was tragically, not obviously, but sure. Yeah, okay.
Tragically, yes. Very tragically.
Yeah.
Why Pierce Morgan or Tucker Carlson, even whether you like them or not, and I don't, why are they even giving him a platform at all
is
a good question.
Because agree with him?
Or, you know... Cash is king, you know, if it bleeds, it leads kind of a thing.
Yep.
But there has to be, you know, at least an acknowledgement for young Zoomer men, an appeal to this.
Yes.
That this level of like conspiracy thinking, anti-globalist, anti, which is usually code for anti-Jewish.
Sure.
that this idea that there's villains in this world, a cabal, and we, the handful, are actually woke to it.
But they are not woke.
They're not woke. They're using, you know, this is, we yeah. are awake to the conspiracy that this is happening in this world, and you, good soldier, are awake to it, and you must fight against it.
Am I the good soldier? I don't want to be the good soldier.
We're not good soldiers.
We're not good soldiers.
No. Yes. Unless we think that their millionaires are eating babies to stay young forever, and they're storing those babies in behind a pizza restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was in the basement of the pizza restaurant.
Sure. You don't want the back room. You right. gotta get the basement.
Yeah, right.
Obviously. It's like a cellar.
Don't worry. Yeah. The pizzas, they still come back to the pizza is code for any Democrat who ever says anything about pizza. That's code.
That's still code?
Man.
Why do they gotta keep speaking codes? I mean, like, you know, like,
right.
you
know,
like let's get
like
better.
If the whole world is in on it and the system props you up, just talk about the babies.
Like, you know.
I mean.
Yeah. All right. So Nick Ferret.
It's a real shame because I like pizza.
I do. You know?
I want to order pizza.
Pizza's out here getting ruined for us.
Yeah. The one thing I thought we had good in the world. Pizza. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, some of this is just absurd.
Seems like most.
But all of it, some of it is wicked. Okay, you know, like some of it is just like absurdly stupid.
Yeah.
And some of it is obviously wicked and disgusting. But, you know, again, asking the question, why is this popular? Like, why is anyone interested in what this person would have to say about anything?
Yeah.
Is real shame. But I ask the question, why do you think?
Well, so I think there is an innate desire within humanity to try to understand why there is evil in the world, right? I mean, I think we've been trying to figure that out for a long time. I think we've had theologians, we've had philosophers, we've had all sorts of people trying to figure out why does evil exist and how do we cope with evil in the world? And I think this answer presents a simpler strategy than saying, oh, the evil exists in the world because I'm a part of the problem. I think this answer lets us say, oh, this other faceless organization over here, this group over there, it lets us pass the blame onto somebody else. It makes us feel special because we have the secret knowledge that allows us to know the evil, and we don't have to look at ourselves and the things that we're doing wrong. We can just say everything that's wrong is that group over there.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
I think in some ways it's also like it gives people community that they might not have in other ways. And I think that we don't want to like downplay how impactful that is for people, right? Like, unfortunately, the community that's being built is around something that is bonkers.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I look at that and I see a lot of kind of disenfranchised, lonely people that are, you know, finding connection with people.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's why cults work, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think at its core, it's a bid for connection, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate both those answers, and I think you're both right. I think it's sometimes easy to look at this and be like, well, it's just ignorance, or they're just stupid or gullible, or they just spent too much time online. Which, you know, maybe
that's true.
Maybe some levels
contributing
to all that,
factors.
Or
sure,
maybe have truth to them, but I think addressing that there's a deeper issue that it's not. This is not. There are people who are ignorant who do not fall into these things.
Right. I can be an idiot, right?
Yeah.
I can spend too much time online. I don't fall into this stuff, right? I don't.
Yeah.
Do you want us to refute when you
say that? You're not an idiot.
No, not you.
I can be gullible to things, right? I can fall prey to a lot of the things that you described. I'm just admitting that, right?
Yeah.
But I don't fall into this because I think I have community, because I think I have a source outside of myself that forces me to look inward for the problems, right? As opposed to just blaming others, right?
Yeah. I think this is idea of like young men out there, one, are being told that the world is passing them by. Whether that's true or not, that's the message that they are receiving.
Yeah.
And then attached to that is the world is messy. This is how we make it cleaner or simpler, which is what you mentioned. And here is the villain. And I think raised on storybooks or video games, like those are the things that are attractive, especially I think to young men, of like, here's the obvious villain, this is defeated, everything goes back to normal.
Yeah.
And I think that that is part of the story mm-hmm. that is being mm-hmm. presented online. And like, the soldier imagery is not accidental when they, these people kind of talk online of like, they want to speak as if we're in a fight, if we're in a war, if we're in, you know, things like this. And you have to take back these things mm-hmm. to young, especially mm-hmm. young men. Like, these are not accidental. I think it is young, lonely men who are looking for a story bigger than themselves. Yeah. And this is the one that has been plopped into their lap, and they are hungry for it. Like, they're hungry for something, and this is at least something.
Yeah.
And again, it's gross, but it's something.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that maybe, you know, the question is, how can the church, how can we offer a better something, right? Yeah. Like, I think this is the yeah. question, like that there needs to be something better than just conspiracy theories or globalists, or there are a cabal of people eating babies, right? Like, yeah. like, like, if that's so attractive that they are like launching themselves at it, or that women are the enemy. We talked about that last week, you know, of like, and they're latching on to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I think there's nothing else to latch on, or nothing better to latch on to.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, I think if we're asking about what the Christian community can do, I think one thing that we have not done well is actually acknowledge the truth of what they're wrestling with. Yeah. And that's not the truth of the cabal or the crazy conspiracy theories, but the truth of things are changing, and there are ways in which their experience is different and perhaps worse than their fathers, quite literally fathers, right? And we can acknowledge that. We don't have to give in to that to say like, oh yeah, we should change everything and coddle you and make it back to the way it was in the 1950s. That's not what I'm advocating here. But acknowledging, yes, the world is different than it used to be. What you are seeing is not imagined. It's okay for you to feel that way. Now let's talk about why and what that means going forward. And giving a space for someone to actually acknowledge it. I think too often the church, and particularly the left, I'm sure the right does this too, but I see this happening a lot on the left. We fill ourselves with the you shoulds, right? The like, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, rather than just letting people hear or receive your reality is true, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And now let's talk about what that means going forward, right? Like, and one of the things that I often feel from more liberal parts of my own colleagues and things like that is like, oh, well, you're not doing enough on the environment. Oh, you're not doing enough on this issue, or you're not doing enough on that. You should be speaking more about immigration. You should be doing, right? And that's not helpful to the conversation either, right?
Like, yeah.
There's a way in which God's grace has to be big enough for us right where we are. And yes, there are ways in which that grace calls me to speak out to those issues. But shooting all over ourselves doesn't help us either. That's a technical term that a therapist once used with me. Don't shit on yourselves.
Should. Okay. No, that's not what I heard. I
said it pretty clearly.
I'm not sure you didn't.
it is intended to be mysterious.
Right. Shooting. The yeah. mysterious should.
Mysterious should.
Yeah. What do you think, Elise? What can we do? Nothing? I mean, abandoned?
I mean, speaking a little bit some more, what David was saying about saying, you know, your reality is true, and then where do we go from there? Just like acknowledging for young men, I guess, in particular, that there's a lot of unclear messaging about who and what they're yeah. supposed to be in the world.
Yep.
You know, like, we've yeah. given them a lot of should nots, I think, yeah, on sure. the flip side, yep. and have not given them a whole lot of cans.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think individuality and freedom is unfortunately a little bit harder to package up neatly and sell to people than conspiracy theories and yeah. like absolutes, right? So it's a trickier, more nuanced conversation. But I think we're not even having the conversation,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, I'm not a young man, so I don't really know, but like, if somebody were to ask me, like, what does it mean to be like a young man right now? Like, how do you live through your, call it, masculinity in the world today in a way that is healthy? What does that look like? I would struggle to answer that.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree completely. I was talking with our former associate pastor, Pastor Cassandra, several months ago, and I was talking about like this idea of like,
I'm sorry, we don't speak that name on the podcast.
She must not be named. I was like, and I was saying, like, you know, what's weird about kind of like masculinity and femininity today is, it, and that's difficult for me as a man, is it feel, whether it's true or not, it feels like if she did a sermon about like how the benefits of her femininity and how it leads her into ministry, I think that's applauded. And I think it should be.
Yeah.
If I gave the exact same one, only it was like the benefits of my masculinity and how it helps guide me in leadership.
Yeah.
Then it's like, shut up. Like, look at this jerk up there.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like it, that's the way it at least feels. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but like,
no,
like
I that, think that is. Yeah.
But I think there's truth to that. And I think like you mentioned, Lisa, like, I think the message of like, well, how should I be masculine is kind of a missing question, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the answer cannot be shut up and take a back seat. Now let the girls lead. Like that, maybe that should be what's happening, but like, I don't think that's an attractive enough message for young men to like latch onto. And there should be a way to say like, this is how you actually are masculine.
Yeah.
And it's celebrated and it's important and it's valuable for communities and your families and your relationships. And I don't think the left has very good answers there.
Yeah. The right
has terrible answers, but they're at least answers.
Yeah, I don't think the church has one of them either, right? And I mean, the church is outside of left or right, hopefully. And I don't think we've done a good job as the church, except in more conservative circles, of really identifying that, right? The church's answer has been, going back to, you know, here are the male roles listed out in scripture. You're supposed to do this, 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 and this. And that's not necessarily in line. It's perpetuating the problem rather than, you know, aligning with this, a new vision of what we're being lifted into. And it's, the church has not done a good job of clarifying that position and saying what it means to be a man or a woman or in any sort of relationship or whatever. That like, we just haven't had those really difficult conversations saying this is what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is what Luke Simon, his
all right, the author, okay,
his stuff, yeah, not just
also,
some dude.
Also not on Saved by the Bell.
Also not. Yeah.
We think
it's true. Yeah, we don't know Luke's story.
He says we won't shepherd young men by mocking them out of conspiracies or coaxing them back into civility. We won't fix this with better algorithms or more fact checks. We won't help by pretending the world is simple when they already know it isn't. Debunking alone won't stop conspiracy theories. We have to outstory them. And so this is, I think, what an interesting thing that he's kind of bringing up. Like, the story of Scripture and even the story of Christmas is a story of rebellion against an enemy. Like, it's just a different enemy. And this is kind of the idea. It's not about globalists. It's about against sin, death, the devil, spiritual forces that are present amongst us. And this is what the story is. Like, if we take Scripture seriously, Jesus is coming to infiltrate a broken world and to feel and to fix it. And there's an actual enemy that needs to be defeated. It's just not people who like pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with anything that you just said. I think the challenge is that for the most part, those conspiracy theories will look to the pizza and say, well, that's the spiritual power, right? It's the devil at work through this conspiracy that is not actually real. And they will ignore the very real ways in which evil is at work in the world right in front of them. I think that's the next layer of that challenge. But I think outstoring them is an important strategy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if y'all saw the new Superman that came out this summer.
The one with the dog?
The one with the dog.
I did not see it.
I saw the deodorant commercials that went along with it.
I think you got it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, Superman, Clark Kent, is talking to Lois Lane, and they're talking about this idea that you know, they're both journalists and they have this idea, and they have a very interesting conversation. Like, it's actually really fascinating where she is pressing him as a journalist and he is trying to defend actions that he is doing and kind of getting fumbled and stumbling over himself as she presses further.
Actions he's doing as Superman?
As Superman, okay, yeah. Like on the global scale.
Yeah.
It's very, I think it's pretty fascinating. But one of the things that kind of comes out of this is he talks about, like, as the choice to be Superman, he says, like, this, and this is from the movie, like, this is a punk rock choice. And which weird, because like Superman has always been described as kind of like a boring superhero.
Yeah.
His outfit's terrible.
He's wearing the red whitey tighties.
It's not punk rock. Batman. Yeah. Punk rock.
Sure. Yeah. But I think the idea of like him saying like, I see the world as it is and choose to respond with kindness and bravery, that is punk rock. And I think there's something there that can be appealing to young men. Like, it's not about diminishing the world is broken. The world is. It's sure. not about diminishing that there are messed up things in this world. That's true. Like, we can't, you know, make crafts or pretend that things aren't terrible
right.
with young men. Like, I agree. But it's saying, like, but what is a, like, the response through masculinity? It's like, fight against it. Like, yeah. and that means not just like go on podcasts and say Hitler is cool or whatever for edgelords right. or whatever. It's choosing kindness is actually a punk rock thing in the world that tells you kindness is weakness.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
and I think, so I appreciate what, you know, that version, this new Superman for the, yeah. for 2025. So.
Yeah. I think by that definition, I can see Jesus as punk rock.
Jesus is super punk rock.
Absolutely.
I don't really know what punk rock means, so great.
Yeah. Yeah,
Jesus. I don't know anybody personally who sat down and braided their own whip, so like...
It's fair.
That's real punk rock.
Yeah. I think that there's something there. I think that is a hopefully a message that can appeal to young men struggling with, like, what does it mean to be masculine? That can hit, like... It is masculine to fight against injustice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not, you know, if you're listening, it's like, that can be a feminine thing too. I 100% agree. Like, mm-hmm. like, that's not a thing. Like, but to appeal to young men, it's like, it is masculine to want to defend those that are unable to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And that is a thing you can do in this world with Jesus. Like, yeah. that is hopefully the message of scripture is like, that you just may not do it with a sword in your hand. You may have to do it, you know, with kindness mm-hmm. and with hope. And that is more challenging because, yeah. you know, that's acknowledging the enemy is not just something you can defeat with a gun.
Yeah.
But something that can only be defeated through spiritual means.
This demon can only be cast out through prayer.
Yeah.
That was Jesus.
That is Jesus. I mean, casting out demons is pretty punk rock.
It is pretty punk rock.
It's pretty punk rock. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think, in some ways, this is really maybe just coming to an extension of the ways in which we've over-glorified violence throughout the last, I don't know, 50, sure. 100 years of civilization in particular. And when you grow up and everything that you see that's cool is... when you grow up as a young man and everything that you see that's glorified as cool is people crashing cars and destroying one another and crashing into one another and fighting one another, right? Like, when those are the stories that you're told over and over
for what a
cool man does... It's hard not to live into that when you're an adult, unless you have those role models who are giving you something to say different, right? Like, I mean, you and I, we talk about this all the time, right? That an average high schooler needs 6 non-parental adults just to be like healthy, right?
Yeah.
Just,
wow. You know,
and like, so what does it mean for us to have 6 non-parental adults who are living models of something other than violence culture, other than what we would call toxic masculinity, right? Where you use that masculinity to oppress and to harm rather than using that masculinity to build up and to mm-hmm. protect.
Yeah.
I mean, even shows that I like, I love Game of Thrones, incredibly violent. I love Marvel, incredibly violent, right? As a kid, I remember thinking how silly it was when I was a kid and my mom wouldn't let me do finger guns with my friend. She's like, no, guns kill people. We don't play with finger guns. And then the other day I saw my son doing finger guns. I was like, oh, I get it. Like,
yeah.
I don't want my son to joke about that. Like,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Mom. My bad. Probably like 30 years too late, but great. Sorry about that one.
Oh, you turned out okay.
Yeah, I haven't ever shot anybody, so that's something.
There we go. Pat on the back.
That's the bar.
Right. I mean, me either, for the record.
Well, 3 for 3.
Right.
Oh, like all 3 of us? Okay.
None of us have shot anybody.
I thought there were like 3 times when you didn't shoot someone. I was like, right. Okay.
Only three. No, it's, yeah, 3 times. I did shoot, but I did hit them. Right. So yeah, it's at least, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so. 0 for 3.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, if you missed, I think it's 0 for 3.
Yeah, killed. Yeah. Never killed. All right. Are we wrapped up?
I think so.
All right. This is good. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody. Yeah. We'll be back next week with our Christmas special, whatever that's going to be, to be determined. Okay. Looking forward to it in this holiday season. Patrick's all revved up about Advent. He can't even think about Christmas yet. He's so jazzed about all this Advent stuff we got going on.
Are you?
It's definitely just, it's Christmas time right
Those
now.
Those aren't jazzed eyes. They're half closed.
You don't, dude, like, so many people listen to jazz with their eyes half closed. That is.
But we're not listening to jazz. We're talking about Advent.
All right. Well, if you like this episode, you can find all of our stuff at beyondsundaypodcast.com and shoot us an email with how you want to have your body preserved afterwards at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Or what do you think should be done about young men?
What should be done about young men?
Mine is funnier.
These kids these days.
It's 6'7"s.
Not that young. We wish we helped them too, but yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.